book of Isaiah, chapter 66. If you have your Bibles, book of Isaiah, chapter 66. Wasn't that a wonderful series on money that we just concluded last week? I don't know about you, but I was richly blessed by that series. And hopefully we all continue to trust God over money and allow God to use us, to use the money that we have for his kingdom and for his glory. Isaiah 66, starting at verse 7. And we'll read through verse 13. Isaiah's in the middle of the book. Psalms and go like two, three books to the right. Isaiah 66. All right. I'll start reading. It says, "Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she gave birth to a boy. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Can a land be born in one day? Can a nation be brought forth all at once? As soon as Zion travailed, she also brought forth her sons. Shall I bring to the point of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Or shall I, who gives delivery, shut the womb, says your God? Be joyful with Jerusalem and rejoice for her, all you who love her. Be exceedingly glad with her, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied with her comforting breast, that you may suck and be delighted with her bountiful bosom. For thus says the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of nations like an overflowing stream. And you will be nursed, and you will be carried on the hip and fondled on the knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem." For a few moments, this is the best title I can come up with for today. For a few moments, I'm going to preach from the subject, God, the Church, and Mother's Day. All throughout Scripture, God's character and nature are likened to a father. Most of the passages that we read, God is always referred to as father. He's always referred to in this male type leadership role or this leadership type character. But very rarely is God likened to that of a mother. However, here in this passage in Isaiah 66, we find a rare passage that does just that. That God compares himself and he compares Jerusalem to that of a mother. It's critical for us to understand that when we read the Bible often and most of the time uses language that we are familiar with in order to help us grasp and understand an important truth about God, ourselves, and the world around us. It's important also to understand, side note, while reading the Old Testament and passages in Isaiah, it's pretty critical to understand that every promise that is made in the Old Testament is not for you. I hope I didn't burst anyone's bubble. If I did, so let it be. Every promise in the Old Testament is not for you. But every promise made in the Old Testament says something about God. And we serve a God who does not change. So the same faithful, covenant-keeping God who made promises is the same God who, if he makes you a promise today, you can bet on it that he'll keep it. That when we read the Old Testament, we read the prophets, and we read the promises that God makes to his people, what we can rejoice in is that the same God that made promises then is the same God who is active and speaking to us today. Side note closed. All right. Today, as we honor and celebrate our mothers, aunties, grandmothers, whoever, you know, the mother figure is in your life, I want us to be intentional about taking some time today to reflect on the fact that mothers are a gift from God to us. I'll say that again, that mothers are a gift from God to us. And just like any other gift, God uses the gift of motherhood to draw us and to point us back to himself. James 1:17 says, "Every generous act and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or no shadow cast by turning." In other words, the good and perfect gifts that we receive like mothers are but mere reflections of God and his character. This is why in honoring our mothers in days like today and in next month when we honor fathers, we must always find ourselves coming back to the source of those gifts, the originator of all things lovely, good, God. Now, I know some of you are like, that's cool, Pastor Terry. I'm all for the whole Mother's Day stuff, but I didn't really have a mother growing up. Or my mother may have abandoned me. Or my mother and I don't have that connection. And so Mother's Day is kind of hard. Or maybe your mother is not here anymore. And maybe you never knew who your mother was. And you were adopted. Or you were raised by other people. Or you, maybe you were just raised by your father. I have some good news for even you. The Bible is very clear that wherever spectrum you are, whether you have the gift of having a mother and the relationship is good and you guys call each other every day like me and my mom do, or you're on this side where you and your mother have no relationship or you never knew any your mother, that God is still in the center, above all, working through all for his glory. This is what I want us to understand today. Yes, we celebrate our mothers. Our mothers are good, and mothers, I celebrate you. I honor you. There's nobody. I will never be a mother. I couldn't be a mother. That's why God made me a man, and I'm so glad he did, because what y'all do, I could not do. And so I honor you guys, and I said, but I honor God most, because God knew exactly the type of mother that Terry Lynn Coon Jr. needed. God, the originator and the source of every good and perfect gift, has given us these gifts, but he's given us these gifts so that we may be pointed back and drawn closer to him. In this passage of Isaiah, we have the children of Israel on the tail end of their coming back and God releasing them out of captivity. They've been in years under captivity in Babylon. They've been in years being oppressed by other people, and they've been years waiting on God to deliver them and waiting on the promises that God had for them to come into fruition and come into fulfillment. And here we are at the tail end of this prophecy, and Isaiah says, listen, I know you guys have gone through a lot. I know you guys have been through a lot. I know life has not been easy for you. I know life has been tough, mostly because it's been your own fault, because of your own wickedness and your own sin. But still, you've been dealt a hand that's been hard to bear. But I have good news for you. God is in control. I feel like preaching already. I got 15 minutes. This morning, maybe today is especially hard for you because it's been rough. The road's been rough, and life has dealt you some real hard cards to play. Well, I have news for you that God is the one who's holding the deck. That God is the one who's holding all the chips. That God is the one who knows how to take a really, really bad hand and turn it for his good, for our good, and for his glory. That the God we serve, the God that we sing about, the unchanging, the unfailing, the everlasting, the faithful one, the promise-keeping one, the one who was in control, has your life in control. This prophecy that Isaiah was preaching to Israel, he says, listen, Israel, I know things are hard. I know things have been bad. I know things have been tough. But hold on just a little while longer, because God's about to do something in your life. And he speaks this prophetic word over Israel, and it comes into fruition. It comes into fulfillment when Jesus gets here. He says in verse 7, he says, before she prevailed, before she brought forth, before her pain came, she gave birth to a boy. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Can a land be born in one day? Can a nation be brought forth all at once? As soon as Zion travailed, she also brought forth her sons. Shall I bring to the point of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Or shall I who gives delivery shut the womb, says your God? God says to them, yes, your life has been bad. You put yourself into a situation where it's impossible for you to get out. But that's okay. I'm going to get you out. And when I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it in such a way that it's going to make your time spent in that misery, your time spent in that discomfort, your time spent in that pain, is going to be like nothing. Because what I'm going to do, I'm going to do quickly. And we find that in the New Testament that when Jesus arrives on the scene and when he inaugurates the kingdom and he steps on the scene and says the kingdom of heaven is at hand and it's here right now, things begin to happen quickly. Yes. And quickly, as soon as Jesus gets here, a new child or a new community is born. And it's born effortlessly. It's born painless. It's born by God and from God. And you all already preached half my sermon, so I'm done in a few minutes. This new community. He says, Israel, I know you guys have been ostracized. I know you've felt without, that you've had no family. You've had no true home. You've had no true sense of community. You've had no true sense of belonging. But I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something through Jesus Christ. And I'm going to create a whole new community, a whole new family. So those who don't have family, so those without can find a place to be. And we find that in Jesus Christ through the church. Yeah. Told you Dorothy preached my message. He says, I'm going to give those who have no name, who have no identity, who seemingly have no one to care for them, who have nothing to hold them up, nothing, no one to encourage them. I'm going to give them a new family. Maybe your family has died, and maybe your family died in captivity, Israel, or maybe you've been alienated from, you've been stripped from your family, or whatever. You guys are having fall off. That's okay. I'm going to give you a new family that's not made by blood, but a new family that I adopt by my own power. John 1:12 says, and for all who believed in him and received his name, he gave them the right to become sons and daughters of God. Children not born by flesh, children not born by the will of man, but by the will of God. He says, Israel, I know it's been hard, but be on the lookout. I'm going to give you a new family. And her name is going to be the church. She's going to be your mother. She's going to be the place where you can come for security. She's going to be the place where you could come and be raised up and be sure. She's going to be the place to rear you and navigate you through this life like a mother. So if you've never had a mother, if you had a mother, God says, I'm going to do you something better. I'm going to give you the church as a real true mother to draw you to myself. So in this passage, three truths about God, I'm sit down. Number one, the good news, wherever you are in life. Number one, God creates for us through the church a place to belong. Yeah. He gives us a family. He gives us a community. He gives us this unique place where there may be people who don't look like you. There may be people whose hair is of a different texture of yours, whose skin is of a different color of yours, whose background is different than yours. But he says, I'm going to put you in a place, I'm going to put you in a position where none of that stuff matters, because this now is your family. This now is your community. This now is the place where I have put you so that you could grow. This is the place where I have placed you, where you have a sense of identity, where you have a sense of security, where you have a sense of comfort, where you have a sense of all those things that you were lacking before. This is the place that I'm going to give you, and her name is the church. That's why I'm so thankful for this body. That's why I'm so thankful for the body of the body of Christ at large, because for those who are orphans, who have been orphaned, and those who are aliens, and those who don't quite fit into the world system, God says, that's okay, because I have a family for you, and it's called the church. And God does this to take care of us. He does this because he loves us. He does this because he knows it is not good for man or woman to be alone. We were built for community. We were built for family. And so God says, no matter if your family is here or not, I've given you and I've extended to you a new family that's stronger than any blood relation, because it's held together by the blood of Jesus. He says, number one, he creates for us a place to belong. Number two, he uses this place to care for us. He uses this place to show forth his care, to show forth how much he loves us, to show forth his character, to show us about himself. He uses the church. He uses the people within the church to prove to us that he cares, that he knows our name, that he sees our tears, that he feels our hurt. So he links us up with people that when we're down, they pick us up. When we're lonely, they give us a call out of nowhere. When we're by ourselves, they come and see about us. When we can't do for ourselves, they come and cook for us. When we can't clean for ourselves, they come. He gives us these people to show us that he cares. God uses the church to explain, to show us that he cares. He gives us this community that he cares. Hey, listen. If maybe this is your first time at City Lights, and you've been here for a while and you're still checking us out, trust me, you stick around long enough, you're going to find out that God cares. That God cares about you, that he's placed people within this church. And it's not just us as pastors. I'm always blown away by this, but this is y'all's church. This is y'all doing the work. Everything that happened is because of y'all. Because if Tom Thien and I were to do all the work, nothing would get done. This community is blessed because God has placed you here. This community is because you show up. Because you do the work. You bring the food. You bring the clothing. You do. And we're just here making sure things don't get chaotic. But God is using you to show each other how much he loves you. Even though your last names may be different, even though there may be a big age gap, it's God in the midst of that working and making it work. Because trust me, we couldn't have planned this. We're pretty smart, but we're not that smart to create this. This has to be an act of God. And this is God showing us that, hey, don't worry, don't fret, I got you. I am for you. I am working on your behalf because I care about you and I love you. So he uses the church to care. Listen to what he says in verse 10, Isaiah 66. He says, be joyful with Jerusalem and rejoice for her, all who love her. Be exceedingly glad with her and all who mourn with her, that you may nurse and be satisfied by her comforting breast, that you may suck and be delighted with her bountiful bosom. For thus says the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her like a river and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream, and you will be nursed and you will be carried on the hip and bounced. In another language, on the knees. Listen to the language that he uses. He's saying, listen, if you're weak and you're hungry, I've given you the church that you can come and eat and be strengthened. He says, there's been a lot of confusion and lack in your life, and there's been a lot of chaos. He says, I'm going to allow peace to flow like a river, so that which has been broken can begin to come together, that you can begin to pick up the very pieces of your lives. I will bring wholeness to that which has been broken in your life. And I'll do it within the church. He says you will be carried on the hip. Look at the imagery. He says the church will carry you on its hip and will bounce you on its knees, that you would find delight there, that you would find enjoyment there, that not that everything will be perfect, not that we won't get on each other's nerves sometimes or do things that are a little, we wouldn't do it, but you know. But it would be a place generally a place of enjoyment, a place where you want to be, a place that you don't dread come, a place that you are willing to sacrifice for, a place that you are willing to invest in. He said, I'm going to make it a place of where you want to be. Amen. To show you that I care. I'm going to create such a community that you want to cling to. That no matter what's going on in your life, you can come and you may not have heard from your biological family for years, but that's okay. You can stand up and say, praise God for this family. That maybe I can't drive as far and maybe I've lost contact and all these other things. They're in another country, they're in another state. He says, I'll create such a situation where you can praise me and rejoice in knowing that I'm caring for you right where you are. He creates a place. He uses this place to care for us. And lastly, this is a killer. He remains in this place with us. Not only does he create a place for to belong, not only does he use this place and use the people in this place to care for us, he remains in this place with us. Verse 13, he says, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. I'll read it again. He says, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. It may come through Dorothy's encouraging words, but it is I who am comforting you. It may come through City Lights clothing giveaway, but it is I who am comforting you. It may come from the preaching of Tom, Thien, and Terry, but it is I who am comforting you. It may come from the tender hug and affectionate kiss from a member, and say, but it is I who am comforting you. I am doing the work. I am in the middle of this. It is I who deserve all the praise and his glory, because it is I who am working all of this out for your good and my glory. Even if you don't understand it, even if you can't figure it out, it is I who am comforting you. It is I who am dwelling with you. It is I who, I have placed my name in this place. I have placed my spirit in the people of this, in this place. It is I who am doing the work. It will be good. It's cool to have people who are nice and loving and comforting and caring, but it's another thing to have God at the center of it, because he makes all the difference. So when people fail, and we will fail, when the pastors fail, and we will fail, and when other people fail, and they will fail, it is I, says the Lord, who am still with you. I'm in you, working things out for you and for my glory, because I never fail. I never change. I am the eternal. Have you not heard? Have you not seen? It is the Lord who gives strength to the weary, and with those who are without strength. He says, so if you put your trust in me, if you hope in me, as Isaiah writes in chapter 4, he says, I will do things in such a way that I will raise you up on wings like eagles. You will be able to walk and not be weary. You will be able to run and not faint, because I am the Lord, and I am strengthening you. I'm pushing you. I'm holding you up. I'm securing you. I'm loving you. I'm comforting you. It is I, says the Lord. We find this fulfillment when Jesus comes and he gives his life so that this could be born. He goes through the pain so that the church will be born painless. He goes through the anguish so that the church can be born without travail. He goes through the work so that you and I can have a place to belong. He goes through all the pain. He gives his life. He sacrifices everything to let you know that God cares. He leaves this place so that he would send us the comforter. He says in John 14, he says, behold, I leave, but I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you wandering around like a baby without his mother. I will not leave you wandering aimlessly like a stranger and without hope and without care. He says, I will send you the comforter who will be with you, but who will also be in you. If you've trusted Jesus Christ with your life, God himself, the Spirit of the living God, dwells on the inside of you to comfort you in those times where you can't call anybody else, to sing over you in the middle of the night, when all hell is breaking loose in your life, to strengthen you. This past week, last Sunday, after church, as we were rehearsing for the choir, who did such a marvelous job this morning, someone broke into my car after church in the church parking lot, and they stole some pretty valuable and precious items, some things that I use for work, things that I use for personal reasons, and things that I've been accumulating, and really, really valuable things. And as I realized that this happened, those who are still here, let them know that what happened, and, you know, we're trying to figure out what happened and, you know, going through all that stuff. And so I went in here to make sure, like, I wasn't crazy and I didn't leave the stuff in here. And when I came back outside, the group of people who were still here had formed a circle. And they were praying for me. That in the midst of this uncomfortable situation that I had been placed in the midst of this, I didn't know what was going on. And why would they do this to me? And why did I leave my doors unlocked? And all this thing, all these crazy things that are going on in my mind. And the old Terry trying to rise up and saying, let's just ride down the street and see what you can do. And all this stuff is going on. I stepped back up. I stepped outside and I saw this. I saw my family. Thank you, Jesus. I saw my family praying for me. And it was in that moment that the stuff didn't mean anything anymore. Yeah, I want it back. Yeah, it's valuable. And yeah, it's precious to me. But I remember a certain preacher saying, which one are you going to put your trust in? Treasures in heaven or treasures in earth? And it was in that moment that God reminded you that even though the stuff is lost, and even though it's hard, and even though it's painful, and even though it's disappointing, I am still here comforting you. And he used his people. He used you guys to remind me that he knows. And whether the stuff comes back or not is not the issue. God's in control. I don't know where you are in your life this morning. But if you cannot honestly say that, today is your day to make that decision, to allow God to be in total control of your life. To allow God to fix your broken heart. To allow God to give you a new family if you had no family. To allow God to be Lord of your... To allow God to save you from your sin. Maybe things aren't going well in your life because you put yourself in that position by your own choices. And God is here to say, the confusion that you've caused, I've come to give you peace. I've come to make it right. And it's not about you saying, I'll get myself together. I got to get myself together first before I come back to church and before I fully invest. He said, heard that speech thousands of years. You can't do it. I will do it for you because I love you. Today, if that's you, every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, just slip. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that the God of all comfort would comfort your heart right now, that the God of all peace would fill your heart and fill your life with peace, that the Spirit of the living God would flood. If that's you and you're saying, I want that, I want to be comforted, I want to belong to this new family, the only way to be really a part of this family is to give your life to God. And if you want to be a part of this new community, just simply raise your hand. It's no hocus pocus. It's nothing, not going to make you jump through any hoops or anything. Just simply say, I want to be a part of this. If that's you, I see your hands. I see your hands. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray that the hands that are uplifted, that you would do a work in their heart. You've already done the work. The fact that they've lifted their hands is a testimony that you've been working. Father, I pray that they would experience, that you would overwhelm them with your comfort, that they overwhelm them even now in their seats with your peace, that you would overshadow them with love, that you would overshadow them with this sense of security. Even now, Father, thank you for their lives. Thank you that you love them so much. Thank you that you brought them to this place. It was not because they decided to come to church, but it was that you were leading them. So, Father, I pray that you will continue to lead them past this moment, that they would find shelter in your church, that they will find shelter in this community. And even if it's not security, even if it's not city lights, Father, I pray that they would find it somewhere else, knowing that you are in control, that you are working everything out for their good. It's you who loves them, you who comforts like a mother. Father, I pray even now that you would renew and strengthen their minds, that when the enemy tries to come and take away and rob them of this decision, that you would uphold them, that you would strengthen them, give them boldness and courage. And for the rest of us, Father, I pray that you would continue to remind us that you care, that you would continue to use us to be a blessing to this city and to this church and to this and to each other. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us first and loving us most. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.